Welcome to another PI World podcast. This is an audio-only version offered as another way to enjoy our great content. A full video version can be seen on piworld.co.uk, where you can find many more videos of interest to investors.
Good morning. This is Andy Thorburn. I'm joined today by Peter Sowerby, the CFO of Emis Group. Delighted to be speaking with you. Looking forward to sharing our H1 results that we've just published this morning. So just as a quick summary before I hand over to Peter, a positive first half performance for the group. So strong revenue on the top line and also adjusted profit performance, which we're really pleased with. And also good performance across many parts of the business as we return into more business as usual. So I'm looking forward to sharing the operational highlights and also talking about the future of the business and how we see growth coming through on a consistent basis. So with that, I'm going to pass you to Peter and he'll take you through the numbers.
Thank you, Andy. Good morning, everybody. So to summarise the first half of 2021 with the financial highlights on slide 4, we saw a continuation of the improved momentum of the latter part of 2020, with results slightly ahead of the board's expectation. All our key P&L metrics, including revenue, recurring revenue, adjusted operating profits and EPS, moved ahead strongly against the first half of 2020 and also showed good growth against 2019 first half comparatives. Total revenue was up 7% to £83.5 million, with recurring revenue up 4% to £65.8 million. Group operating profit improved by 13% on our headline adjusted numbers, and that's where we expense development costs as incurred. Cash generation was temporarily weaker, as expected, as the period-on-period performance was skewed by the reversing out of the £7.3 million VAT payment holiday, which had benefited the first half of 2020. So year on year, a 14.6 million swing. Despite this, we still ended the period with net cash of 48 million, a 9% increase on the comparative period. Adjusted EPS was 11% higher at 25.6 pence. And after a lower increase in 2020, reflecting the exceptional times, we returned to a double-digit growth rate in the dividend with an interim dividend of 17.6 pence. And that reflects our renewed confidence in the medium-term growth prospects for the business, given the group's strong recurring revenue base and ability to continue to perform well through more challenging markets while supporting an elevated level of development investment. So moving on to the income statement, this page shows the P&L performance over the past 3.5 years. There's more on revenue and segmental performance in a moment. But we're pleased with the results this period as we've returned to growth at both top and bottom line, successfully navigating the various episodes of COVID restrictions. Our March 2020 acquisition, Pinnacle, has performed well, boosted by stepping up in providing scale technology to support the rollout of the vaccination programme in England. While continuing our technology investment programme, the level of capitalisation of development costs continue to trend down, as we focused our teams more on projects improving customer experience, and we further tightened our internal criteria for capitalisation. As a result, and with amortisation overall being broadly consistent and in the absence of any exceptional credits, unlike last year, reported profit was slightly lower this time. The tax charge in 2021 is close to the average statutory rate for the period at 19.1%, excluding the £300,000 deferred tax charge, which resulted from the government increasing the future headline corporation tax rate to 25%. Adjusted earnings, so excluding exceptionals, capitalised development costs and amortisation, that was up 11% as we saw. Reported earnings, following the reported profit, was slightly lower this time. Looking at our two business segments and the segmental analysis on slide 6, in Emis Health, the three left-hand columns here, which provides core software to the NHS. Here, revenue was up a little on a comparative which had been boosted by higher than usual hardware sales, resulting from the need for rapid deployment of mobile working solutions during the first lockdown period. The richer sales mix this time out helped to deliver a 5% increase in adjusted operating profit. In the Emis Enterprise segment, in the middle three columns, which covers largely the private sector and consumer side of what we do, here we saw a strong rebound from a relatively weak comparative period, boosted by a strong performance from Pinnacle. Revenue in this segment was up by 21% and adjusted operating profit by 28%. Overall, therefore, adjusted operating profit was 13% higher, with the operating margin also ticking up by a percentage point versus the comparative period. The next slide gives more detail on the revenues and the split between the main categories and between recurring and non-recurring revenue. As we've seen, recurring revenue moved forwards by 4% this time versus the first half last year, and was slightly lower than the second half, which usually includes some additional truing up revenue. Non-recurring revenues increased more strongly, 21% ahead, with a return to a more normal level of projects and new business implementations. Within the revenue categories, software subscription support ticked up with business growth. Interface and connectivity charges, which includes partner and communication revenues, increases here, with higher onboarding revenues in particular. Other services were also up, mainly due to higher digitization and analytics revenues. Hardware and related services dropped back following the higher demand last year for remote working in the primary care marketplace. And lastly, perpetual licenses, training, consultancy, and implementation, all of which are non-recurring revenues. Here, we saw an increase with more project work, including that work to support the COVID-19 vaccination program. Turning then to the cash flow, adjusted cash from operations, which is before any exceptionals, but having absorbed all development costs, was slightly lower at 14.9 million, with working capital movements behind the temporary reduction. In particular, working capital performance reflected 7.3 million of COVID deferred VAT payment this time versus 7.3 million of benefit in the first half of 2020, which together with around 5 million of slightly delayed debtor receipts, which landed in early July, sat behind the reduction in working capital performance. I'd expect that debtor position to be normalised for the full year. Business combinations relates to 2 million of deferred contingent consideration for the Pinnacle acquisition. CapEx continued to be tightly controlled at 1.6 million this time. And we also spent 2.4 million in acquiring shares for the EBT to satisfy share scheme awards. Tax payments were consistent for the second half of 2020, as we're now onto real-time corporation tax payments. Overall, therefore, a net cash balance of 48 million. And we'd expect the second half cash flow overall to be similar to what we delivered last year. A strong balance sheet maintained, no debt on here, some unused facilities in place to June 2022, which we'll be reviewing later this year. An increase in joint venture associates and current assets reflects in part the short-term debtor increase previously mentioned, but also increased tax debtor balances with the revised corporation tax regime, and also some earlier billing, which is offset by an increased deferred income balance. Other liabilities, there we have the further 2 million contingent consideration for the Pinnacle acquisition, which we fully expect to be paying out given its excellent performance. And then turning to the guidance and trends slide, for staff cost, we'd expect a similar level in the second half, dependent on performance, noting that there is a higher level of wage inflation than we've seen for a while, particularly in India. Development costs, we'd expect to see capitalisation and amortisation continuing at similar rates. Share-based payments, similarly, likely to be broadly consistent, dependent on vesting. Tax rate will remain largely in line with the statutory rate at 19%, and cash also consistent in the second half. CapEx, we'd expect to remain broadly similar for the remainder of the year, with some increase perhaps towards the latter part, with investment planned in internal systems. From a working capital point of view, we'd expect a better second half. And whilst the reversal of the VAT payment holiday means that we will be negative overall for the full year, excluding that, I'd expect to be broadly neutral. Dividends, we have 11.1 million for the interim dividend, which will be paid in November. And then looking at guidance overall, we'd expect revenue for the full year to be at least consistent with market expectations. And we have a clear line of sight to meet full year board expectations overall. Looking further ahead, we expect to deliver what we previously indicated in underlying mid to upper single digit revenue growth, together with margin improvement as a minimum base for growth in the business looking out into the medium term. And with that, I'll hand back to Andy, who's going to take you through the operational review.
Thanks, Peter. The summary from IC is a positive start to the year. And as Peter outlined, we've got strong performance across the group in the key metrics that are very important to us. So we're very pleased with that. And the return to growth was as we expected. And positively, we were performing slightly ahead of board expectations through that first half, which has been great. Just to reiterate the point that Peter made, we've got a clear line of sight to the end of year numbers. That doesn't mean it's done. It means we've got lots of projects to sell, close, deliver, and then recognise the revenue. But we've been here before, and we're confident with the same level of execution we'll achieve what we need to achieve for the year. What's also been really important is we've continued to invest in new use cases and capabilities with our EMSX programme, as well as investing in our current systems to improve our performance and customer experience, which is something we continue to do to satisfy our customers. Looking forward, the key message from us here is we're now focusing on monetizing the investments we've made over the last few years. We will have a drumbeat of investment that continues, but we want to move into that growth phase as we move forward over the coming years. And again, we're pleased with how we've started this year, and we're focused on delivering to board expectations. Turning to the next slide on 13, I think what's really encouraging from my seat is we're moving ahead in parallel in many different parts of our business. And this is one of the great strengths of EMIS, is we have capabilities in many sectors and many focal points. And we will touch on that with our market architecture slide, which is very colourful in the deck later on, so apologies for that. But it is a real strength for our business. We're not relying on one thing. We move across in many fronts. And as you can see from slide 13, we achieved a number of results in different sectors. So we've highlighted Pinnacle, which is important in the immunisation programme, but we've got another system called OCS or Order Comms, which has also been deployed in England for the test results part of that system. So less visible to those on the outside, but another positive demonstration of the strategic systems we have here in EMIS, and one that we don't really normally talk about very much, but very successful for us indeed. We highlighted last time the launch of our EMIS X analytics capability, and we mentioned that we had many pilots, over 30, I think, when we spoke last time. And I'm delighted to say that on the NHS side, we've got customers converting into real contracts, and they're converting at a good price point for us. Over £100,000 is typical. So that's very encouraging, and we'll continue to move forward in that with great leadership from our markets team and Susie Foster, who leads that, one of our senior executives. We're also seeing lots of different use cases for the analytics capability. But there is a demand from NHS professionals, clinicians, to understand the population, the risks associated with people coming out of this post-COVID world, assessing risks and proactively targeting groups to come into, whether it be the GP practice or a community trust, or indeed in the acute setting. So lots of positive things happening in analytics, both in NHS, but also on the private sector. And I'm going to highlight that more in a slide later on that talks about the future of the business and growth we expect to come through in the coming years. We also continue with our joined up strategy. So we've deployed a new triage capability, and we connect directly now from the GP desktop into community pharmacy. It sounds like a simple thing, but it's very complex to do, and the team have delivered that over the last year or so. Patient Access Marketplace, which had a tough time last year, is now building again after COVID has opened up once more, with about 1,600 pharmacy locations. And we're booking directly from patient access directly into community pharmacy consulting rooms, as we've mentioned on previous occasions. Success in the hospital pharmacy space as well, another area of our business we don't talk about so much, but we're very strategic, making sure there's good dispensing and acute trusts across the UK. I mentioned the life sciences element in my opening slide, but also later on, we're making good progress in developing that market. We've signed some major life sciences customers now in formal contracts, and I'll brief you a bit more about how that's developing. The other thing, just to give you an idea, is how important our partner ecosystem is. And I've highlighted here that revenues associated with that part of our business are over 20% of the group. These are buried in both enterprise and health, but it shows you the power of working with partners and bringing their capabilities to the market. That's an area we want to continue to focus on and accelerate as EMSX comes online in even more detail as we have today. So looking forward and moving through to slide 15, I think it's important for everyone to understand our view of how the healthcare market is evolving. And it's very interesting, when we made our decisions around what we'd invest in a number of years ago, no one could have imagined what was going to happen with COVID-19. But the good news for us is the choices we made then are all applicable to the world we operate in now and in the future. Our customers are focused on clinical research, and that's the life sciences side. With their business models being disrupted, there's new models emerging, and we think we've got a role to play in that. Clinical insights, I mentioned the NHS side, so identifying those cohorts of patients that need special treatment, that's something that's happening across the nation. Population health, obviously with COVID-19, there's an absolute focus on thinking about the impact of that long term. And we've talked about our Open Safely trial, which we had underway with government for some time. And that's been very successful in clinical research, but also to prove out our analytics capability and our trusted research environment, which we'll talk about in a couple of slides. The other focus is integrated care in England. That's coming. And you'll see in the press this morning, there's some commentary around the CEOs that are going to be appointed into those ICS roles. And we are very well positioned for this market. And I'll talk through the building blocks just in a second. So lots of good things happening in our world, and we're able to satisfy our customers with the modern investments in EMSX, but also, most importantly, the key building blocks for our traditional point of care systems. Those traditional systems are very important in not just the integrated care opportunity, but also for the data they hold and how the clinicians want to understand that data and the scale we've built with EMSX analytics. And now this trusted research environment is second to none. We're a specialist vertical player in this sector, and we've got a role to play to support the NHS as it deals with the challenges coming ahead over the next 2 or 3 years. It's very clear in our conversations that that data security, that control of data, is at the heart of government policy and also the policy of healthcare professionals across the industry. And we are perfectly set up for that, having delivered that system and worked with Open Safely so far. The final thing, and it's a thing we don't mention so much, but our brand is incredibly important. And the work we did last year in COVID stands in good stead as we build this trusted brand. I didn't mention it before, but at one point we had 130 parallel work streams going on for COVID. And that was really important work for our customers, and that's been appreciated. We also made decisions not to be overly commercial in that work, and we focused on doing the right thing. And we think that is the right thing for shareholders and long-term brand building. And the feedback we've consistently had from our customers has been excellent, and something we're delighted we made the right decision to build that brand presence in a real tough pandemic environment. I'd like to spend an extra few minutes on this slide. It's very important for us as a group, and also to think about the potential for EMIS over the coming years. On the left-hand side is research and life sciences. We mentioned that we were entering that market last time out, and our capabilities there are building nicely. The first thing to say, and this applies to NHS as well, is legal, ethical, absolutely compliance-driven. We will not take shortcuts on anything to do with data or insight. Our brand is our business, and we will make sure that we do the right things at the right time. We've got this secure, scalable, trusted environment. It's built on EMSX. It's been deployed with Open Safely, this major COVID program that was sponsored by the previous Secretary of State and Oxford University. And that is a case study that shows we can operate at scale with very complex data. And that is an excellent case study for the future, and we've been well recognized for the work we've done there. Also, we're not going to go alone in how we access and use that data. We're using partners who have accredited AI and machine learning capabilities. Those are typically approved by NICE, which is the formal approval here for algorithms to run in healthcare data. And we will work with them and others to do the right thing by our customers as we look at these clinical research projects that cut across often life sciences, but also the NHS research, which is a big part of NHS that's not often talked about. The key thing as we think about monetization of these investments is what enables our business model. And there's 4 points I'd like to make, and these are real things that are happening today. The first is we're having adoption of EXA and this trusted research environment in both NHS side and also life sciences. It's still early, but it's encouraging because we've built and designed a system with these type of conversations in mind, and we're really pleased with the reception it's getting. And again, mentioning we have signed some contracts in the first half that formalizes my excitement around this. The other thing is you have to have clinicians that want to play in clinical research. That's an absolute factor. And an independent study has shown about 42% of GPs are clinically research active. That means they are absolutely positively engaged with programs, identifying cohorts of patients, and working with life sciences or NHS research projects. We also manage the data sharing agreements on EMIS Web, our core GP system. And that's how we manage that interaction on behalf of either projects we're involved in, government projects or life sciences projects. And we also enable partners in the space as well. So we've got a key role there with the data sharing capability that we've got inside EMIS Web. What's really important to say there, that is all GDPR driven. It has to be signed off by the Caldecott Guardian. This is the representative in GP practices that protects the data. And there's no shortcuts ever taken. And that's managed very closely within our business. The other very interesting development this time with EMIS-X is we have built a capability for patients to consent for us to use their healthcare data in patient access. So patient access is now at 30 million downloads. And we ran a pilot in the first half to contact patients to see if they're prepared to consent their data and use the new technology. And that pilot had 30,000 signups. So we're now going to roll that out nationally. And that's a new area focused on real-world evidence supporting life sciences as they've deployed their prescription medication into the market and they need feedback from an independent source. So that's an interesting opportunity that we'll build. And Alex Evis, who runs our product line there, is doing an outstanding job building out these capabilities. This condition-based personal engagement is very, very important. Another EMIS-X development, integrating patient access and our EMIS-X analytics platform. And that gives us a real amazing insight in conversations with customers, patients, and citizens around their particular condition, plugging that information in with information sourced from many different parts of the ecosystem. Why is this important? What are the outcomes that people are looking for? Cohort identification often takes a year or 2 years to get a clinical research project up. We can identify people in EXA in a matter of minutes or hours or days. That should reduce the time to market for life sciences. And typically, it's about 13 years to bring medication to the market, potentially reduce that by a year or even more. So this is interesting, and our life sciences customers think this is a very interesting capability we have. So we're very enthusiastic about this area. The investment made in EMIS-X on the data analytics side, building those separate patient databases, was a strategic play for us. We didn't tell the market, we didn't want to alert the competition, and it is playing out very strongly for us now. Still early in financial terms, not going to exaggerate the financial impact yet, but the potential, the conversations, and also the internal excitement we've got is palpable. So that's a good area for us to build on over the coming years. That will help us fulfill the expectations we have out there, Peter mentioned in summary, and potentially over time, we may be able to exceed those if we continue to build momentum over the coming years. On the right-hand side, this is in the press today, as I mentioned earlier, is integrated care systems in England. This is the big initiative from the government, the NHS, about joining up care at regional level or geographical level. And it's interesting, there's lots of people coming to this space trying to get involved. But let me talk about the credentials of our company. We have over 10,000 EMIS clinical systems deployed in the UK across all the key care settings. And that position is uniquely, and I use that term carefully, to be the building block for ICS. To give you an example of just two stats, we managed about 600 million consultations through EMIS systems, so the clinicians talking to you or I, either on the phone or video or face-to-face. And we dispense around 650 billion prescriptions to High Street. We're absolutely a scale player. We're completely strategic to the NHS. And we're absolutely the building blocks for ICS. The other thing we talked about previously, but just to give you a number, the data that we have securely segmented at different levels within our chemosex environment, we hold about 1.5 trillion, and we did check that number before I said it, 1.5 trillion healthcare data points. We think on behalf of our customers, we manage the deepest primary care data set probably in the world, representing 57% of the UK. And this has now been used by clinicians through EBISX analytics to deal with this post-COVID world that we're now moving into. So very important capabilities. And ICS we see being a major play with data connectivity. So I mentioned earlier our trusted brand. To be able to work in this area of sensitivity, you must be a trusted brand. We've been here 32 years. We are known. We acted responsibly through COVID, and we made sure we made the right decisions for the long-term future of our business. And that has been well received and understood and appreciated by our customers. And we continue to try and make those right decisions every single day. The key to ICS is interoperability. This is about connecting the different care settings through the analytics capability with EMISX, but also now the EMISX interoperability capabilities we built. So we didn't talk about it, but we spent 3 years putting in SNOMED, which is the language of healthcare worldwide, and is actually a standard here in the UK now going forward. We're completing our FHIR interoperability we mentioned in March. That's the final piece in the pie, if you like, for stage one of EMISX. And that will be delivered on time. And we're also working with partners to extend that capability. We have a capability called Data Mesh, which is more of an infrastructure capability. But we want to mention it because that is the glue that helps you deal with data at scale. And this is something we built into EMISX, and Richard Jarvis is the key executive leading on that front. And we've got scalable infrastructure that can deal with the challenges of ICS. We've got APIs today that we have, and there'll be more APIs on the FHIR standard as we to build forward. So interoperability is key. We're a leader in that, and that will be essential for successful companies in ICS. The final point to mention, again, going back to that analytics build, the heart of EMISX, is the clinical insight across care settings. That's the key. And that's held at patient level, at practice level, segmented securely with appropriate encryption to make sure that that is bulletproof. And then that can be used if permissions are given at primary care network, typically maybe 8 or 10 primary care practices working together. In the current clinical commissioning group level, which is really a regional approach, about 100 CCGs these days, the emerging ICSs, which will bring these together with other capabilities. And then we've proved it open safely national level. So we are superbly placed to be successful in ICS with real building blocks, with real scale, a trusted brand, and really malleable new technology that will flex to the needs of the market as it develops. Why is it important? It's important to you, me, and all the citizens of the UK, and in this case, England's a focus, where you've got patient-centric management across care settings, improving that patient experience. And the most important thing today is proactive and timely patient intervention with some of the challenges with what's going on out there in the NHS. So these are strong capabilities. On the right-hand side with ICS, this is our business today. And we are joining that up in this new model. And we are expect to be and are confident of being successful. And on research and life sciences, our EMISX investments are bang on the money here. And we see that as a really nice opportunity in the private sector as we build the future. If we turn to page 17, and look at the very colourful chart to wake you up this morning. This is about our capabilities. And this really shows in one chart what EMIS is all about. This time we put a little strap line across the top, healthcare innovation and integrated care powered by X. So the innovation we've been undertaking has predominantly been on the enterprise side, but we've not really talked about it so much because we wanted to build it. And you're now starting to see it come through strongly in some of the areas I mentioned earlier. So patient, 30 million downloads, pharmacy, number one in pharmacy, and research and life science, we've just mentioned the previous slide. And then these great point of care building blocks, primary care, community care, emergency care, linked with pharmacy, incredibly important for this business. Underpinned by common services, moving mostly to the cloud, but still some hybrid capability, which is absolutely relevant today. And then that interoperability layer is really strategic and very important, and we're making great progress there. If we then move to the final slide, I'd just like to say, first of all, thanks to the team in EMIS. They've done an outstanding job through this period, and we build on their success every day. We've got a clear line of sight to do what we need to do this year, and we're confident of that. It's not done yet, but we'll get the head down and deliver as we normally do. We see our connected care strategy, which has been the heart of the company for many, many years, just being the right thing to do. And we continue to invest in that joining up of capabilities, that very colourful slide, and have highlighted just a few things today that are new along with the things we've built previously. The most important thing has been close to our users and customers. They have new challenges every day, and our EMIS-X infrastructure, particularly the data analytics assets we have, will come to the fore through this period, and we're already seeing that with contracts, conversations, and opportunities. And our plan, as we've talked about previously, is to grow organically, and we see great building blocks emerging, to work with and through partners. And you can see from the revenue perspective, we've just given you a little view into that, is they're incredibly important to us, and we'll continue to build. And additionally, we would like to find a few more Pinnacles or lookalikes. That's been a very successful acquisition for us, and the team there have done an outstanding job. So we're looking for some bolt-ons, and if there's something larger, we may go for that. If the price point's right and the timing's right, we'll wait and see. So overall, from my seat, we're making good progress. We're looking to the future. We're talking less about tech innovation. We've talked more about use cases, customers, and the real use of this EMIS-X program and our outstanding point-of-care systems we've built for many, many years. Thank you.
PI World videos and podcasts are for general information and interest. They do not constitute any kind of recommendation or inducement to buy shares of any company. PI World is not offering any kind of financial advice, and nothing in our material should be taken as such.